Hello and welcome to another edition of Dennis Wing E-Course. Today's course is on guitar mechanics. What I mean by mechanics is your overall technique, overall playing position, overall way of playing the guitar, way of holding it, way of strumming it, way of picking it. It may not be getting into specific little techniques for little licks or chords or runs or anything like that, but it's the overarching way that you hold the guitar and sit, etc. Now, in the beginning, when you're first learning guitar, in my opinion, if you have a teacher who's like extremely strict about certain things, how to hold this hand, how to hold that hand, how to arch your fingers, how to do all this stuff, it can be very daunting and very not fun. You know, I always remember when I was a kid, I would ask my grandmother, who was quite a good piano player, you know, to teach me how to show me how to play some piano, but she was so strict about technique, like every little thing. No, you know, do this. No, do that. No, wrong finger and all this. And as a little kid, it was quite a turnoff, you know, so I did not last very long as her student, you know. I think she was actually glad about that. But, and so I tend to not get too much on my student's case, if you will, during the lessons. I tend to be a little more lax. However, the danger with that is, it's pretty obvious, the longer you go with poor technique, the harder it is to change it, you know. So there has to be some kind of balance between, you know, having fun and also not developing bad habits. So this is why I created this e-course, so you could, in your own time, you know, your own relaxed way, without feeling, you know, pressured upon like I did with my grandmother, you can have an overall way of holding and picking and strumming the guitar so that you don't develop any further bad habits and that you correct the ones you may have now. Now, I've had many a bad habit on the guitar. You know, it just so happens I have excellent technique on the guitar, and that's not to brag. It's simply to say that the reason I have excellent technique is because I have had to correct many a bad habit over the years because it was limiting my playing. And as I said, it's way harder to correct a bad habit than to develop a good one to start with. Now, having said that, you know, some of these techniques, they will vary from player to player. You're going to see a lot of players who do things differently than I do, and I'm certainly not suggesting that my way is the only way. But my way is an extremely efficient way. And I would bet you 9 out of 10 times that even an excellent guitarist, if you see him or her doing something drastically different from what I'm doing, it's a bad habit. And that's just a bet. It's not a guarantee. You know, 9 out of 10 times if you see something different from what I'm about to say, that is probably a limitation for that guitarist. Now, guitarists can learn to adapt their own limitations, you know, to just get around certain limitations, and then they sound good because they've learned to adapt to them. But why not just not have to adapt? Why not just, you know, have great technique the whole time? So here we go. Now, guitar technique, mechanics, whatever you want to call it, it actually starts all the way at the feet. We're going to go all the way from the feet to the head, okay? Now, your feet should be flat on the floor. I see a lot of students tend to want to go on the tiptoe, you know, maybe to hold their guitar more firmly in position or something like that. But no, your feet should be flat on the floor. Look at how much tension there is when you put your feet up and try and hold it that way for, I don't know, 45 minutes, however long you're going to practice, an hour, you know. And as we work our way up, the legs should be, like the knees, for example, should be roughly parallel to your shoulders. So if any of you have ever taken any martial arts, you know, you understand that the stance, your stance in, let's say, karate or some kind of form like that, is very important. If you don't have the right stance, if your stance is too narrow, for example, you could fall right over. If your stance is too wide, then you can easily be, you know, tripped by your opponent taking one leg out from under you. You know, so having even just this is a big deal. Your feet flat on the floor, your knees roughly square with your shoulders, and the having the knees out in front like that also allows your left hand to be free from any obstruction from your leg. I've seen it over and over and over again. Guitarists tend to sit with their neck of the guitar slightly out away from their body, so that the neck of the guitar protrudes further away from the body than the strumming end of the guitar, and then they have their kind of elbow like in their lap kind of, and the leg is obstructing the elbow. That's bad news. So you want to sit up straight and have your legs out forward. Now your left arm is free. It can move freely, and it's not obstructed by the leg. The guitar itself, let's talk about the guitar itself. First of all, I highly recommend a strap, okay? Your strap, some people think of it as a restricting thing. It's actually a freeing thing. It frees you up to not have to hold the guitar with either hand, and it stays perfectly in position. What I mean by perfectly in position is the guitar is still on your lap, on your knee. You know, let's assume, just for this example, I happen to have an acoustic guitar right now. So the acoustic guitar is resting on your knee, just like it would without the strap. But it's just tight enough that when I take my arms away from both arms away from the guitar, it sits perfectly on the knee. If the strap is too tight, it's going to have all the weight supported by your back, which will eventually cause your back to ache. And if it's too loose, then as it sits on your knee, there'll be slack in the strap. And then that's not really doing anything. As you sit up straight, the guitar should be on your knee and the strap should be taut, not slack. Okay? So, and then the position of the guitar should be like square. What I mean by square is it shouldn't be leaning back so that you can see the body of the guitar. It should be pretty much up and down so that all six strings, it looks like one giant string to you, you know? And so that's square that a ways. It shouldn't be protruding out away from your body. The guitar neck shouldn't be protruding out. It should be evenly squared off in that way, meaning that the neck of the guitar, it can be a little bit, but the neck of the guitar and the body of the guitar are equal distance from, let's say, your chest, you know? And then, so that's square that way. And then the other way that it's square would be up and down, so that the guitar neck isn't away from the floor more than the body of the guitar. It should be square. Everything's square. So that's three directions, if you will, you know, height, length, and depth, okay? So those are all very important things. So far we haven't even put our hands on the guitar, and we talked about quite a bit of stuff. And let's keep going up. Before we get to the hands will require more explanation. So let's bypass the hands for a minute and go all the way up to the head. Now you may be thinking, well, I can't see anything. All I see is, you know, all six strings, they look like one giant string to me. And I can't see what I'm doing. Well, it's okay to take your head and you know, just lean over a little. But don't lean back. Don't lean the guitar back just so you can see. That's a bad habit. All right? So, and if your neck gets tired, I mean, at some point, the more you play, you won't have to look at every single thing. You'll be able to actually look at the sheet music. Versus always checking the right hand, checking the left hand, all this. So, you know, don't worry so much. If you have to stick your neck over and look over, that's fine. But you won't need to for very long, you know. All right, let's talk about the picking hand first, okay? Let's assume you're a righty, and I'm going to assume that the right hand is holding the pick. Before we put the pick in the right hand, we're going to put it in the left hand just so I can talk about how to hold the pick. All right, so do this with me. Put the pick in the left hand. And the right hand, I want you to stick it out in front of your body so that the palm goes directly towards the ceiling. Okay? Your palm of your hand is facing the ceiling, your arms out in front. You have four fingers, not the thumb, but the other four fingers are going to curl back down so that if you drew a line out of the fingertips, it would come back up your arm. Okay? I'm going to call this a loose curl. And all four fingers are roughly equal in terms of, you know, the nails should be roughly together. So that's a loose curl. Okay? So again, draw a straight line out of those fingertips and they come back up your arm. All right? Not too loose that it's down towards the floor and not too loose that it's up towards the ceiling and not too tight that it's down towards the floor. Next, we're going to take our pick with the point end of the pick facing the ceiling. And we're going to put the pick with the point end facing the ceiling right next to the first joint of the index finger. Make sense? And the thumb is going to go on the pick so that about one quarter to one half of the pick is sticking out. Okay? So as of right this minute, I still have my palm facing the ceiling. My four fingers are doing a loose curl. The point of the pick is facing the ceiling and it's resting right against the first joint of the index finger. And the flesh of the thumb is over the meat. I mean, the meat of the thumb is going right over the middle of the pick. And about half to one quarter of the pick is sticking out. I'm not really pressing my thumb on the pick. I'm not really applying any pressure. It's quite relaxed. But having the flesh of the thumb on the pick holds it in place. You know, do an experiment. Have someone, if you take your hand and put it, turn it 90 degrees so that the nail of your thumb is now facing the ceiling. Okay? Let's say you're resting your hand on a table with the pick still in it. If you ask someone else to try and lift up your thumb, they should be able to lift it up right away, no problem. You know, without any resistance whatsoever. However, if they try and pull the pick out, they will be able to, but it won't be so easy. There'll be some resistance there. And the resistance is not from you pressing on the pick. It's simply from the fact that your flesh is, you know, holding the pick. Now, in terms of the actual picks, you should use a medium or heavy pick. Light picks I don't recommend. I'm not even sure why or who uses light picks. I really don't know anyone who uses light picks. And it tends to have a plasticky sound and it makes things harder. It makes it harder to relax because you have to do more work to rake it across the strings because it's bending so much. So use a heavy or a medium pick. I use a small pick, but I don't recommend that for beginners because it takes a while to get used to the pick. So use just a regular size, medium or heavy pick. Now that your right hand is holding the pick in proper position, just put it right up to the strings so that the pick is you know, perpendicular to the strings itself. And your hand still has a loose curl. This is very important. Sometimes people can hold the pick right away from the guitar, but then they put it up to the guitar and all kinds of funny stuff happens. Just keep the loose curl and put it right up on the strings. And then this is what I do. When I'm playing the lower strings, let's say I'm playing the sixth string, the thickest one, my the joint of my pinky and ring finger are resting on the upper strings. Okay? When you pick notes, you're going to want to rest on the strings to give yourself some anchor of where you are. If your hand is just floating, when you're playing chords, all right, so let me back up a minute. When you're playing chords, only thing that touches the guitar with the right hand is the pick. All right, you do not touch any flesh when you're strumming a G chord. My hand's just freely moving up and down. Right? But when you pick notes, suppose I'm playing the third fret of the sixth string, that happens to be a G note. Okay, I'm picking that with a downstroke, and my fingers, the outer joint, first joints of my pinky and ring finger are resting on some of the upper strings, if that makes sense. Also, suppose I'm playing that same note, third fret of the sixth string. When I strike that sixth string, the pick rests on the fifth string. Okay? And so I'm not floating all over in space. I know exactly where I am in terms of, you know, my right hand. I don't have to look. I don't even have to do anything. It just automatically. And then if I'm going to pick the, let's say I'm going to pick the fifth string open. If I do that, that's an A note. It rests right on the fourth string. So notice that the actual distance of the pick when you strike a note is pretty small, just millimeters. You know, so you do not need to do a lot of work, and you certainly don't need to have. You don't, certainly don't have to press to play the note. I mean, press really hard, and you'll get a note like that volume. Press not that hard at all, you'll get a note that volume. The volumes are not that different, you know, hardly at all. And if you want to be able to create some dynamics on the guitar, you know, if you're pressing super hard to begin with, you got nowhere to go. You can't get any louder. Whereas if you're just nice and easy, letting it fall, you can get quieter or you can get louder. But generally, guitar has a very small dynamic range anyway. So just relax that right hand. Just let it fall right into the... So let's do a little bit. We pick the sixth string and we rest right into the fifth string. Okay. Now we pick the fifth string, rest right into the fourth string. And then fourth. And then third. Okay, now, let's go back and talk about where to rest your fingers on the pinky and the ring finger. Where do you rest those? Once you get to the, like, let's say the third string, for example, there's no more room to rest on the strings, right? That you're, the outside knuckle of the pinky and ring finger, we're resting on the strings on the low when you pick the lower notes. But when you get to like the third string, for example, there's no more room. So you may find that there's a point at which you have to rest sort of in the crack between the strings and the wood. And that's fine. Get used to where that is for your hand. For me, it's the third string. Once I get to the third string, I got no more room. I'm in the crack. My outside joint of those two fingers, the pinky and the ring finger, are in the crack between the strings and the wood itself. When I get to second string, now I'm on the wood completely. I'm on the pick guard. Okay? This will vary from hand to hand based on the size of your hand. And then when I get to the top string, the first string, I'm on the wood completely. So I would like you to get used to that. Take a few minutes to get used to where is the breaking point for resting on the strings or on the wood. Okay, I'm gonna go through from 6 to 1, and then I'm gonna go through 1 to 6. So again, let's play the sixth string together. Your hand's resting on the strings. When you play that note, your pick rests on the fifth string, of course. Now let's go to fifth string. Now let's go to fourth string. Now let's go to third string, and my hand comes off the strings, and it's not quite on the wood, it's kind of in between, but that could vary based on the size of your hand. Now, second string, I'm totally on the pick guard right here, and first string, I'm totally on the pick guard. Of course, when you play first string, there's nothing to rest on after the pick. There's nothing to rest on with the pick after you strike the note, but still, as you saw from the other strings, you don't have to go very far, just a couple millimeters. Alright, so now that we did 6 to 1, we're going to go back 1 to 6. So we're going to play string 1 together. String 1. And then string 2. Your hand's still on the wood. String 3, I'm in the crack. String 4, now I'm on the strings completely. String 5. String 6. Alright, does this make sense? hope so. So that's for picking notes. All right, now again, for strumming, if I strum a C chord, I do not have to rest on. I do not have to rest anything except, you know, the only thing that touches the strings is the pick. All right. Again, I'm not really pressing my pick. You know, I can if I want to exaggerate something, but I'm just letting it fall, kind of. And for up and down strumming, which we talk about in a different lesson, a different E course, I'm simply letting it fall and bringing it back up. I'm not really pressing or forcing anything. So the lighter the touch, the better. Okay? That's all to do with the right hand. Now let's talk about the left hand. The left hand is such that the thumb goes behind. Let's say if you're in open position, the thumb goes behind the second fret, about halfway to three quarters up the neck. All right, what I mean by that is your nail of your thumb or the fleshy bit of your thumb should be about halfway or three quarters, you know, up towards the ceiling. It should not be, your thumb should not be sticking over the onto the strings or anything like that. Certainly that was one of my bad habits, and that's a common one too, you'll see. The thumb is at the second fret when we're in open position. If we're in a different position, wherever the second relative fret is, that's where the thumb goes. Okay, let me explain. If you're in fifth position, meaning, let's say you've learned a pentatonic scale, your first finger is at the sixth string, fifth fret, and then your pinky is at the sixth string, eighth fret, okay? And everything else in between. So the thumb in this particular example would go behind the sixth fret, because in this particular case, we're in fifth position, namely the first finger plays the fifth fret. And the thumb goes usually wherever the second finger goes, okay? So if I'm playing a pentatonic scale, okay, then my thumb is behind the sixth fret. All right, let's go back to open position for a minute. Let's talk about the rest of the fingers. The rest of the fingers have a nice arch to them. What I mean by that is the wrist comes forward away from you so that the fingers have this beautiful, you know, arched curve that, you know, you can fit a train underneath there. You know, if you needed to, you know, you need to get out of the way of the other strings. For example, when you're first learning a C chord, let's do just a mini C chord, which is string one open, string two at the first fret, and string three open. Okay, this is just a mini C chord. Okay, when you first learned that, you had to figure out how to get that first finger out of the way of not only the first string, but the third string. And the only way to do that is to have a nice arch with your first finger. If you put the rest of the C chord in there, the same thing is true. You have to get out of the way of the strings that are not being played by that particular finger. And this is a very common thing. So I would like you to see each finger on fingertip with a nice arch all the way up, so that if you had strings all the way below the sixth string, which is, now remember, in guitar, below means in gravity, above. I know it sounds confusing. The top string is the thinnest string, the one that's furthest away from your face. The sixth string is the thickest string, the one that's closest to your face. So if you had strings 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 to play, you could easily do that if your thumb is halfway up the neck or three quarters and you have a nice big arch, your wrist comes forward, and just imagine playing strings all the way down here, you know, beyond the sixth string, string 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. see that huge arch that you would have to make, and you can easily do it if you had to. Now, going back to the six strings you do have, if you had just done the demonstration I had suggested by pretending you're playing all these strings way down here, now you're well able to give a nice arch with that hand. Does that make sense? And the placement of the fingers goes as close to the fret without touching as possible. So again, going back to that mini C chord, finger one is on string two, fret one, and its placement is right behind fret one. The fret one technically means the first piece of metal going across the strings after the white nut. The nut is at the open position. But anywhere behind that piece of metal, we tend to call that the fret. But the fret is actually the piece of metal. So you want to be just behind that without touching. All right? For every chord, that's going to make things a lot easier. So let's do an example of G, C, and D chords. Let's say if it's one bar each, G, C, D, G. Okay? And I just want you to pay attention to the placement of the thumb with the left hand and the placement of the fingers right behind the frets. Just strum each chord one time, getting those two things right. Okay, the thumb behind the neck, half to three quarters, and the fingers right behind the frets without touching. Okay, and then switch to C, do the same thing. And then switch to D. And then back to G. Alright. Now, of course, you can rewind this as much as you need to, but I'm going to go ahead and assume that you've mastered that. Go back to the right hand. The right hand, again, has a loose curl, meaning all four fingers, the nails are roughly equal. And if you had to draw, you know, shoot lightning bolts out of your end of your fingertips, it would be going right back up your arm. And the point of the pick is sticking out perpendicular to the direction of the fingers and around the first joint of the index finger, and the thumb is just over it with half to one quarter of the pick sticking out. And your loose curl is right, you know, right over the strings, and the only thing that touches is the pick. So do a G chord with both hands perfectly now. Again, remember your feet flat on the floor, your knees roughly squared with your shoulders, your right elbow is outside the knee, your legs, there's nothing obstructing it, you're sitting up nice and straight. If you can't see, you're just going to lean over with your head, okay? Your strap is there, and it's nice and taut, and the guitar is resting on your knee, and it's squared off, it's not leaning back so that you can see the body too much of your guitar itself. It's not, the neck of the guitar is not jutting out away from your body, and nor is the neck up in terms of vertical height. You know, everything's just square, nice and square, roughly. I mean, you don't have to get crazy. You know, don't make yourself uncomfortable, but roughly that's how you do it. And you're going to strum each chord and go along. There's G. And there's C, and there's D. The other thing to remember is how many strings does the right hand play. For a G, it's six strings. For a C, it's five strings. Don't play the sixth string there. And for the D, it's four strings. We don't play strings five or six for a D chord. I chose those chords on purpose so you could have something to look at, something to think about with the right hand in terms of number of strings picking. And we're just going to do one bar each, so it's going to be one, two, three, four. Now, I'm not going to talk about, you know, how to switch chords and things like that faster, because that's in a different lesson. I'm not going to talk about strumming patterns and all this. We're only talking about basic mechanics on the instrument. That's for strumming. So just remember, for left hand, thumb behind the neck, nice big arch so that your fingers have a lot of room under it. You can fit the Holland Tunnel through there. And the fingers are as close to the frets without touching. With the right hand, you have a loose curl. The point of the pick is a quarter or a half sticking out. The thumb is just kind of holding it in place with the meat of the thumb right on the center of the pick. And you're just very gentle with the whole thing. The other weird thing is, you know, especially as a beginner, it's going to feel like you're pressing super hard with the left hand, the fingering hand. And just a word to the wise, yeah, it's going to be like that. You have to press super hard with that hand in order to get the strings not to buzz. But you still have to go light with the right hand, the strumming hand. So just a little bit with me. Here we go, G, C, and D. 2, 3, 4. So 6 strings. 5 strings. 4 strings. One more time. Nice and relaxed with the right hand, pressing firmly with the left hand. One more time. Very good. That's strumming. We're going to do a little bit of picking together. And this is a little picking exercise that I think is good for you. It's going to be the each finger is going to go consecutively on each string. I'll show you what I mean. You're going to start at the first fret of the 6th string and play that note. Now remember, when you pick that note, the rest of your picking hand, some of the other fingers, the pinky and the ring finger, for example, are going to rest on the upper strings, somewhere on the upper strings, as you play the low 6th string. I'm just repeating. This is all bears repeating. So you play that lowest, you play that first fret 6th string, and while the first finger is still on, you're going to play 2nd fret of the 6th string with the 2nd finger, which is around where the thumb is again. And then while those 2 fingers are still on, you're going to play the 3rd fret with the 3rd finger. And while those 3 fingers are on, you're going to play the 4th fret, the 4th finger. And all 4 of them are going to be as close to the metal without touching. That can be quite a stretch for a beginner. Okay? And then we're going to do it in reverse. All 4 fingers are currently on the fretboard, and I'm going to play fret 4 with pinky, then take that off and play fret 3, and then take that off and play fret 2, and take that off and play fret 1. So very slow, it's going to sound like here, we're going to run the 6th string. 1, 2, 3, keep them all on, 4, and then let's do that again. 4, take it off, 3, take it off, 2, take it off, 1. Alright, that can be quite the stretch. Again, your thumb is around the 2nd fret. Let's go to the next string. So now you're at 1st fret, 5th string. It's going to be... leave them on the neck. And then take them off. That again. So it's going to be finger 1, finger 2 and 1, finger 3, 2 and 1, finger 4, 3, 2, 1, and now 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, good. Let's go to this 4th string. Same thing again. 1, 2, 3 on the 4th string. Thank you. them all on as close to the edge of the fret without touching. Can be a stretch. Good, we're going to the third string first fret. Leave it on, go to two. And now take them off one by one. Good, third string again. First fret. Second. Third. Fourth. Fourth. Third. Second. First, going to second string. Again. First string, first fret. Last one. Good, very good. Now, obviously, you can do it at whatever tempo you want to do it at. I used to have a teacher who would have me do it on each string going up the neck. So I'd have to do four at a time. Then I'd have to pivot to, this is only for if you're really into this and you want to go deeper into it. There's two ways, just to go faster. Number one, you can. And remember to leave them on. So when I'm doing that, by the time I hit the fourth note, they're all on the fretboard. You can go backwards. Okay, you could do that all in the first position, but I had a teacher who would want me to do it on each string, going up each string. So I would have to do one, two, frets one, two, three, four, and then pivot finger one to fret five, and do five through eight, and then pivot finger one to fret nine, and then he'd have me just play one extra note on the 13th fret, so it would sound like this. So if you're really into this, I'll just give you, this is for advanced people who want to go further. So it would be fingers 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, and then 4, 3, 2, 1, 4, 3, 2, 1, 4, 3, 2, 1, 1, like that, all on the first string. I mean, sixth string. So it would sound like. All right, I haven't been practicing in a while, you could tell, right? So and you would do that on the fifth string. You do that on all six strings. How's that for a workout? Want to get your hands in shape for picking? Definitely do that. Now, while we're here, let's do it. Fourth string. Third string. By the time I got the first string, my hand is resting on the wood. And now that you've made it near to the end of this lesson, I'm going to also tell you a little idiosyncrasy. Idiosyncrasy means it's just pertaining to me, not necessarily to most guitarists. When I get to the upper strings, if I'm playing on the first string, and again, this we're done with the lesson, but if you want to stick around and listen to this, that's fine. It's a variation on what I showed you about how to rest the upper fingers of the right hand on the wood or on the strings. This is a variation that I do. Again, this is an idiosyncrasy, okay? Only Dennis does it. I don't know if other guitarists do it or not, but I find it easier than resting on the wood. But I think resting on the wood is more common. That's why I put that in the meat of the lesson. When I'm doing the sixth string, I'm resting my pinky and ring finger, again, like I said, on the upper strings. However, when I get to the third string, I'm not really in the crack like I said I was. The edge of the thumb, I'm not sure how to describe it. When you trace the thumb down to the rounded bit on the palm, that part is resting on the low strings. So when I'm on the third, second, and first strings, I'm not actually resting on the wood with the fingers. My palm, the thumb bit of my palm, is resting on the string. So I'm actually always on the strings. You can try that as an alternative. So you do string six, you're resting on the upper strings. String five, you're resting on the upper strings. String four, you're resting on the upper strings. String three, you start to pivot so that the fleshy bit of your thumb in the palm section is on the sixth string or fifth string as you play the upper string. Just experiment with something like that, okay? But again, that's advanced stuff, so. Okay, so have fun. And I'm just gonna give you another little sample of staying on the first string and doing those finger exercises. Here we go. If you wanna get crazy, do it at every position. Do it at second position. Third position. All right, so, but in general, that's the mechanics of the guitar. Have fun. We'll see you soon.